The sermon this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 13. And we'll start the reading again at verse 9. So join me at Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans 12, starting with verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we pursue you in your word, as we have looked and as we have sung of the darkness of mankind that rejects you and rejects your truth, but we would look to stand in your light and to shine as your light in this world. So give us understanding and give us affection for you through affection for your word and affection for one another, that you will be glorified as we live as you have called us to live. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week, my son Nate, he was at his first teenager birthday party. And at this teenager birthday party, they handed out some Monopoly money for the guys. And then they brought out candy and they had an auction. And they were going to auction off candy and they were going to bid on the candy. And Nate always has a mind, how can I get a little bit more food? So he teamed up with one of his friends and said, hey, how about we be on a team so we don't bid against each other, we won't run any prices up, and then at the end, whatever we get, we throw in our lot together and we share everything that we get. Well, this was Nate's plan. Apparently, it wasn't communicated the best. His buddy didn't quite get what Nate had in mind. So the food comes out. Nate lost his head seeing food. He starts bidding against his buddy who's on his team. They bid back and forth. They're both eager to win. They run the price all the way up. And then they ended up spending all of their money. One ended up spending almost all of his money on one piece of candy or one little package of candy. They missed the point that they were on the same team. Here, as we're looking at Scripture, we're told to contribute to the needs of the saints. And we look at ourselves and we're eager to satisfy our own selves, to make ourselves comfortable in our own settings, missing the point of the blessing that I am to provide for you from my personal means. You are to provide for me from your personal means. And the message and the goal in life is not our own comfort at every level, not our own joy, not us getting everything that we want, but the goal and the purpose in life as Christians is first to glorify God. He tells us how we do that by giving him his affection, by giving one another affection as well. That we would each be cared for, that we would each be blessed. So the call this morning is for you to share one another's needs as if they were your own need. Now, if we went through Scripture, and we are indeed going to go through Scripture, we would see that this idea has always been present. In Leviticus, the people were actually told, when you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corner of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy, the alien. I am the Lord your God. This idea that we are just taking as much as God has told us to take, but still there's this idea that we're to leave some for the rest, for those who have needy, for those who are traveling, for those who need help. We are to be a people with the mind of caring for others. But as we look at this world and the culture, we don't see that idea whatsoever. It is about getting as much as can be gotten for ourselves and for our comfort and for our own glory. And we miss the bigger picture of what is to be done. Now, a part of what we see is, this is how people are provided for. We are to be provided for by love even by charity. I've heard a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of people, take the posture, I don't take charity. And when I have dealt with people like that, someone had said that to me, I knew that they had a real need. And we tried to help them from the church, and their answer, I don't take charity, my answer was frank, then you can't be saved. You're saved by charity. You're saved by pity. You're saved by the mercy of God. And God expects that same pity, that same charity, that same mercy to be taking place within the congregation, us caring for one another. Now, we look at the scripture and we see again and again, God is the one who feeds, right? God is the one who takes care of people. Right? That's the way it happens. And we look at scripture and we might get excited when we see a prophet in the wilderness and a raven come and bring him some food. And we think, yes, very good. God provides. Isn't it wonderful? We look at the people in the wilderness and God causes manna to come down. Do you see that we're looking at 6,000 years of history? And when God did that, that was a rare thing when that happened. When God provided for people in that way. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, that's in here, and we're supposed to go, wow, that's amazing that God provided in that way. But how does he provide the rest of the time? Jesus Christ isn't walking into our fellowship meals and saying, how much bread do you have? And we hand him a couple of loaves, and he doesn't pray and hand out bread to everybody from the two loaves. That's not the way he's working now. We don't see him feeding the people in the streets now. We don't see him working that way now, but he is doing it and he desires to do it, and we have lost the opportunity and the privilege of doing it, feeding the poor as the body of Christ in the world now. We've lost it. It's gone. We have turned it over to the government. And the way that they do it is wrong. Wrong. The scripture says, if a man will not work, neither let him eat. But we have perpetuated a system in which the people who will not work are fed and fed and fed, and they are taught, do not work. You're better off if you don't have a job. But our place and our work is to be providing for the needs of everyone who has it, and particularly within the family of faith. So our first step now, distinguish between needs and wants. Distinguish between needs and wants. I was working with a person who had a teenager, and this teenager thought they had a whole lot of needs. The child was angry when they weren't getting their needs. The parent was looking at their life and saying, but I have to give my child what is good. And I tried to explain to this person, no, you have to give your child what they need. You have to give your child food, shelter, and clothing. This is what your child needs. And when their behavior doesn't line up with honoring you and honoring God, you don't have to give them anything else. But food, shelter, and clothing. The needs of the people, the needs of one another. And a lot of times we might hear something like this and say, yes, that's great. That's all I have to give people is food, shelter, and clothing. And we could be pretty happy about that idea if we're making sure people have those things. The scary thing is, we have to look, and this applies to ourselves as well. What do we actually need other than food and shelter and clothing? And above these things, we are to be providing for one another and caring for one another out of our own excesses. This brings us to our second step now. See other people's needs as your own. Romans 12:13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. This idea of contributing, it's not a word that's real familiar to us. There's a sharing in it, or having a share in. That means we look at people's needs, and again, we see that as our own. We are one. If a member of humanity is suffering, we have to understand that as humanity, we are suffering too. Particularly then, in the body of faith, we have to look and see. If a member of the church is suffering, we as church are suffering too. We're tied together. If one member is hurting, we are all hurting. So we have to look and we have to see and we have to be participating in one another's needs as if they're our own. I imagine if you were ever in a setting and you look and you see that there's some blood on you, you say, "Oh no, I'm bleeding." Apply pressure and elevate is what we do. Whenever we see blood, I was talking to a friend and he was in this sporting event and he looked down and he had blood on his shirt and he thought, who's bleeding? Why? And when did I bump into them? When we look and we see that there is a suffering, we are to care for each other's suffering as we would care for our own. Now, this is going to take some falling back for us and some deep consideration for us. And now we're at number three. For you to define your needs. This should be a little bit scary for you now. Because we're going to look at the things that we have, the things that we run after, that we don't actually need, where we're spending our money and our resources on our own personal comforts and our own desires at the expense of caring for other people's needs. So, what are your needs as we would look at how we will be caring for other people? I've told the story before, and it's a hard story to tell. My family and I, we were visiting the Butterfields, and they're famous for their hospitality. And they fed us, and they kept feeding us very well. And at one point, Leslie said, "You know, we couldn't afford to feed people like this." And I shrugged, and I believed her because she buys the groceries. And then later, they were asking us about our plans, and we were on our way to Myrtle Beach to spend time with our family. And they said, "That would be nice." They said, "But we can't afford to vacation like that." So I was looking at what they were doing in their hospitality compared to what I was doing in my recreation. It's a tough thing. If we looked at, let's look at Luke 16. Let's go there. In Luke 16, we'll focus on verse 26. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. But I'll go ahead and start at verse 19. "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen." So he's making himself beautiful with expensive things. "Joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus, who was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame.'" And here's our focus, verse 25. "But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. From the purple clothing, the fancy and the rich clothes, to all the food that he wanted to eat, living in splendor and living joyously every day, to the place where he was told, no, you have had your comfort already. You have had your good things in this world. So our needs, we need food. In the scripture, we were taught to pray in this way, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. So it's a little different than give us this day our daily Starbucks. Give us this day our Doritos and our ice cream. Give us all of these fancy and expensive things. Cause me to be completely satisfied or find my joy in these meals. In this world and in this time, we need shelter. But what is shelter? Other than a roof over our heads, I saw a study on Happy. It was actually a documentary called Happy. And they traveled around the world and they were interviewing people, finding people who were happy. And this one guy, he lived in some third world country, and they showed his house. And his house, and he had his family there, and he had some pallets laid down and a tarp. And when they interviewed this guy, he was happy. And they asked him about his house. He said, it's pretty good. He said, it keeps us dry most of the time. He said, except for when the wind comes from the east, and then the rain blows in a little bit. He said, but my house is pretty good. And this guy was happier in this house than the rich people that they interviewed in the United States of America. He was happy. A roof over our heads is something that we need. It's not give us this day the biggest house that the bank is foolish enough to give us a loan for. That's not where our happiness is meant to be. That is not our need. Our clothing. What do we actually need with our clothing? You need something to keep you covered from the cold. Something to keep you covered from the heat. And something to keep you modest. That's all we really need. Apart from these things. Apart from the weather off of our heads. Apart from the sun and the cold taking our strength during the day because of our clothes. Apart from our daily bread, what do we really need that we have? We are to contribute to the needs of the saints. So beyond these things, this food, this shelter, this clothing, in this framework, beyond these things, we are treading into the realms of our wants and our own personal comforts, our own personal joys. And one of the tragedies is we look around and we don't even see each other's needs. We're not able to discern the real needs that we have. After we had moved to Eastvale and it was time for us to get a new car, and we tried to get a nicer car. We got I think it was a Ford Freestar, and it was shiny and it was clean and it was newish. And we took it, and a friend looked at our car and he said, wow, looks like you guys are doing pretty well. The truth was, we just took out a big fat loan. But in his mind, it looked like we were doing pretty good. My kids used to look at people with big, beautiful houses or big, pretty cars, and they would say, they must be rich. Now they actually say, they must be rich or owe the bank a lot of money. You know, as we look at ourselves and as we look at even our culture, the poor people in our culture, they don't look like the poor people in Africa. The poor people in Africa, you can see it. You can see their ribs, and you can see worse than that a lot of the times. The poor people in our culture are heavy and are overweight. We don't see the real needs around us, and we won't know them apart from actually knowing one another. This brings us to our fourth step, and this is going to be a bit of our posture and the posture that we have to find and have. For this, I'll be reading Luke 3:11. Number four, set others' needs above your wants. Set others' needs above your wants. In Luke 3:11, Jesus said, and he would answer and say to them, I'm sorry, skip that. Luke 3:11, I'd have to look at that. I'm either quoting Jesus right now or I'm quoting John the Baptist. I'm sorry. Luke 3:11, and he would answer and say to them, the man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And he who has food is to do likewise. Anybody here have two tunics in their closet? How many shirts do we have? How many pairs of pants do we have? All of these things that we have and have and have and have and have in abundance. We are actually supposed to look and see the extra things that we have, and we are actually supposed to give them to the people who don't have anything. Where is love and where is affection when we have so much and others have nothing? Now, I am not talking about communism or socialism. I'm not talking about the government enforcing something on us where we make everyone equal and no one's allowed to have anything. But the difference here is, this is done from the heart, by the individual, with true affection, with a mind towards the glory of Christ. Now Luke 12:33 and 34. And this one is Jesus speaking. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right. Can you justify where you are based on this? The things that you have, the things that you cling to that are merely comfort and merely your wants, when Jesus actually says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Is that clear? Or is that confusing? It's only confusing because our minds are wrapped up in this American or North American mindset where we deserve so much. We deserve the best car. We deserve the best house. You deserve your break today. Come to McDonald's. The realities is what we deserve, the fires of hell, is what we deserve. We have been given grace and mercy, and we are told to love as we have been loved. Grace and mercy, pity, caring for the poor, providing and giving charity to those who need it. Now we'll come to our fifth step. Work towards reform. This idea is so heavy and weighty. It calls for such extreme change in our lives that it is shocking. If we were to actually apply this, how many of us would have to call a realtor tomorrow to sell our homes? If we were to apply this, how much would our shopping schedules change or our grocery budgets change? How many of our closets would be emptied out, our things sold or our things given away? How can we do these things? And yet, Christ is calling for us to do these things. Now, I have worked with a mindset. I was raised in a Republican household. So, I was pretty much taught that the Republicans were the good guys and the Democrats were the bad guys. As I have listened to Christian radio, that's been reinforced. Republicans are on God's side and the Democrats are on the devil's side. It's pretty much what I have gotten from Christian radio these days. An acquaintance of mine posted a statement, and it said that compensating with Hillary Clinton or making allowances for Hillary Clinton is not the moral high ground. And that was just so far from my liberals being for the devil mindset that I had been taught. They were actually referring to some moral high ground between Democrats. And I thought, well, I guess I have to go ahead and understand this. So I read this article, and the ideas that were being put forward in this article, they were talking about the moral high ground, and the moral high ground was caring for people who needed cared for, is what they were talking about. Refugees needing cared for. Poor people in our country needing cared for. And when I read that, my mind just went crazy because I'm seeing Isaiah 58, caring for the people who have need. I'm seeing God giving the commandments to the Israelites, take care of the sojourners, because you were sojourners too. Take care of the poor, as we're looking at here, and that being that whole, and I'll put an air quote, liberal mindset. But everything's askew, isn't it? The Republicans aren't the good guys. The Democrats aren't the good guys. None of these people who aren't bowing the knee to Christ, none of them can be the good guys. Only the fool is saying in his heart, there is no God. So where does that leave us, and to where does that bring us? But we are to be those people whose minds are being reformed, whose lives are being reformed. We are to be those people who are caring for the poor out there and caring for the poor in our own midst, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to see the world reformed. As the sojourner and as the widow is cared for, the gospel is brought. As the orphan is cared for, the gospel is brought. You are the body of Christ in this fallen world. And as Jesus fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, as God fed the Israelites in the wilderness, it comes to us now to feed those who have need. To care for the sojourner, to care for the widow. I've always been struck by the idea of Jesus being the father for the fatherless. As of yet, I haven't seen Jesus show up and take a boy out and throw a baseball around with him. But I have seen men show up and care for children. I haven't seen Jesus show up and take care of the widow. But I have seen you visit the widows. You're the body of Christ to fulfill these things. To care for the needy, to share in their needs. So see the needs of others as your own need. Labor, reform, give up your ideas about you deserving so much. In the realm of food, shelter, clothing, and extra joys. But give yourself to the needs of others. And we will continue this series tonight. Pray with me. Our Lord, you make shocking statements that we have to come to with fear and dread because it calls on us to actually change our lives. God, bless us now and show us what it means to sacrifice. Show us in our own lives what it means to give up on our own comforts. Father, that you will be glorified as those who have need are cared for. Let our love be in sincerity and not in hypocrisy. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.